In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, we hear from the Gospel of Matthew about the healing of a young boy. In the 17th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus, along with Peter and James and John, just have come down from the mountaintop where Jesus has been transfigured right before them. When they came down from the mountain to where the other disciples were, there was a crowd there as well. And a father came up to Jesus. The father brought his young son and kneeled before Jesus and asked for the Lord's mercy upon his son. He recounted how the young boy often fell into the fire and water due to his illness. And the father explained how he brought his boy to the disciples, but they could not cure him. This was no ordinary illness, though. This was more than just a case of epilepsy. For our Lord cast a demon out of the son that day, and he was instantly cured. This demon, who had beset the son, was trying to destroy him by either burning him to death, throwing him into the fire, or drowning him, throwing him into water. Jesus rebukes this demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed from this torment. We too are to come before the Lord, not in pride demanding things, but on bended knee like this father, in humility with whatever faith we have. The falling into the fire and water by this young boy illustrates how the demons abuse God's creation. Fire is not a tool with which to burn and destroy, but a gift of God for healing and for heating, for cooking, many good things. And water is not a tool with which to drown, but it's a gift of God for drinking, washing, and again, many good things. This is what the forces of evil and those opposed to God, though, try to do, turning what should be good into something harmful. We see that because of the illness of the son, this father has been brought to great humility. And he calls to Christ, Lord, and asks him, have mercy on my son. This shows humility, not pride. The proud man does not address another as Lord, for he considers himself to be his own Lord. And the proud man does not ask for mercy, for he considers that he doesn't need mercy. Here the father has abandoned the illusions of pride and self-reliance, coming with humility before the Lord. But why were the disciples not able to cure him? That's a question the disciples had. The question arises from their past experience of healing the sick and casting out demons at the instruction that Jesus gave them, as recorded in Luke 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And they did that. They did it. And upon the return at that time, when they came back to Jesus, as recorded in Matthew 10, they were so excited. They proclaimed, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. If the disciples there then had been able to cast demons out previously in the name of Jesus, why could they not cast out this demon? Jesus explained to the disciples, it was kind of twofold. One, it was a lack of faith, but also they had not spiritually prepared and strengthened themselves by prayer and fasting. And they could not cast out this demon. You see, prayer and fasting are two of the basic spiritual tools necessary for our Christian life. These are great tools that we have in the Orthodox Church. Prayer and fasting are necessary for us to overcome what tries to control us in our own lives, our passions. So, what was the solution to this evil that afflicted that young boy that day? Christ says it requires faith. Even if faith is just as small as a mustard seed. And he goes on to say this kind of sickness This particular evil does not go out except by prayer and fasting. You know, prayer is not just talking about God, it's talking with God. A lot of people talk about God. As lungs are our body's breath, so prayer is our soul's breath. We cannot have life if we have no lungs. We cannot have spiritual life if we have no prayer. Fasting also is not just some kind of dieting technique. Fasting is abstaining from things of the body in order to draw nearer to things of the soul. And neither prayer or fasting is an end unto themselves. They're the only a means to our reaching God, who is our life. And prayer and fasting enable us to deepen our faith. And where there is true prayer and fasting, there can be true faith. And as a father of the 19th century, St. Theophan the Recluse wrote, "Where there is no prayer and fasting, there are the demons." You know, the demons cannot stand that kind of holiness. We could say, therefore, that much of our modern world has become the dwelling place of demons, for the modern world mocks prayer and fasting and godliness. And we see over and over again in this modern world the effects of hatred and evil. And just yesterday in Charlottesville, Virginia, we're saddened to hear how hatred led to events of injury and even death. I'm sure Charlottesville is normally a peaceful city, yet there were those who came that day bringing hatred with them. Where there is no prayer and fasting, there are the demons. And the fact is that when faith in God is removed, there ceases to be prayer and fasting. Godliness is no longer there. The world falls into fire or into water. On the other hand, where there is faith, there is prayer and fasting. There the demons cannot go because there is prayer and fasting. But you know, prayer and fasting is hard work. It's hard. They require much effort and diligence. You don't succeed or excel at anything without hard work, without effort, without struggle. If you're an athlete, you don't reach your level of excellence without considerable diligence. And whatever work you may do, including work in your home, work wherever it may be, you reach your level of expertise due to great effort. So too is the Orthodox way of life. Yet it is all possible if there is faith. Faith moves mountains. We have the words of our Lord saying that very day. If we have but faith, even the size of a tiny mustard seed, nothing is impossible before our Lord. So what can we do? We place the faith we have, as small as it may be, we place that trust in our Lord and God. And we pray. And we fast. Not just obey fasting rules, but to draw nearer to God so we can pray better in faith. We can come in humility before our Lord on behalf of others, like the father that came before the Lord that day on bended knee in behalf of this young boy. We pray for God's grace and mercy to overcome the demons that try to cast others into the fire and into the water. We fast and pray for ourselves, our friends, those around us, for our city, for our land. Let us all pray and fast as the Lord has encouraged us to. In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.